It was a peaceful Wednesday morning. I usually spend time with my mother just to hang out. I took her to the mall to go shopping to buy the rest of the gifts that she wanted to buy for my nephews and nieces. Afterwards, we went to lunch, had a great visit, had a great talk, said goodbye, and went back to the parish. I had plans to just basically be low-key and hang out in my room. And around 7 o'clock, people started coming, the kids, the parents, their grandparents. They were getting ready for the Christmas sing concerts, and it was very beautiful. And around 7:30, the kids sang their hearts out. They were so excited, and it was a successful concert. Everyone was happy, and everyone was eager to go back home and be with their families. So they were crossing the street. These families never imagined that that night would be the last night of their lives. Some of these families never imagined and never knew that that would be the last time they would hold their loved ones in their arms. Around 8 o'clock, I got this frantic phone call from a senior Mike, screaming practically, saying, "Francis, I need you to get here now." And I was on the phone and I was like, "What's going on? People are dying on the street. You need to come on the street and anoint them." I got out of my room and got there as fast as I could. And I couldn't believe everyone was just all over the place. It was a sight that seemed so unreal. As priests, we are called to always be strong and gather ourselves together, right? In order to be there for the people that we are helping, the people that are tragically in pain and crying because of what happened. But as I stood there and watched my spiritual children suffer, my heart was bleeding, filled with tears. To see my spiritual children go and die right before my eyes. That evening, Monsignor Mike and I went to the hospital and Father Jim as well. And it caused me so much grief and pain to watch the parents of Martha, the mother and the father, just in distress because they never imagined that their own daughter would die before them. No parent ever imagines that. You see, tragedy and pain is very disorienting, and it turns our lives upside down. We do the best that we could to avoid tragedy and pain, but yet they still keep coming in our lives. An author by the name of William Sloan Coffin, in his book Credo, once said, "We have a God that offers minimum protection and maximum support." You see, for us, it's very disorienting and daunting to see that a God who offers minimum protection, because we want a God that can offer us a spiritual and physical firewall that would keep us from harm for ourselves and for our loved ones. And when it doesn't happen, we become indignant, just like so many millions out there, and we raise our fists to the heavens and we cry out to God, "How can you let this happen? How can you allow my loved one to die?" And so the question is asked, where is God in all of this? And my answer, the answer is, He is there in the suffering. God is there in the dying of those innocent lives. We will do the best that we could to stay out of the tragedy and the pain, but it seems as though God always seems to move towards it. I have been a priest for 6 years and I have spent countless hours with scores of families who have been stricken with grief over a death of a loved one. And the tragedy that befell our church here at St. James, the unexpected death of Samuel, of Martha, of Mary, of Saiko, and the 148 Pakistanis that have been killed because of the terrorist attack, is as painful as it will ever get. And it pierces right to the innermost part of our soul. I've come to know that this world is filled with tragedy and pain. But it is also a world that is filled with joy and fulfillment. And I believe very strongly that our God exists in both worlds. But the question is, how can God exist in the world of tragedy and pain and in the world of joy and love and peace? I don't have the answers to everything, but one thing I know for sure is this. It is possible because of our free will. Because how else can we choose the good if evil doesn't offer us a choice? It's very easy to sense God's presence when everything is going well in our lives. Your business is strong, your family is healthy, there's no bad medical report, your children are successful in school. But what happens when life is falling apart? Where is God in all of that? We ask ourselves, we bow down to our knees and we look to the heavens. Where are you now when I need you the most? You see, what happens is we get so busy looking for a God that will offer us protection that we miss out on a God that offers us maximum support. Because as we prepare for the birth of our Savior, it brings to mind, is there anything more tragic than watching the Son of God die right before your eyes? Can we not find the presence of God in the same place that Jesus found him when he was crucified on the cross? And yet at the most painful moment of Jesus' life, he experienced the very acts of love by God through the people that God sent to Jesus Christ. His mother, Mary Magdalene, and the other disciples that stayed with him till the end, broken hearted and stricken with grief. And the beauty about all of these things and the hope that is given to me and to all of you is that because of this tragic event, countless number of people and churches have reached out to offer their support for their grieving families. Even Kathy Lee Gifford called me, and her son Cody drove to our church, talked to me, and said, I want to do what I can as a Christian to help these families. That gives us hope and courage. Just a few nights ago, we had a candlelight prayer service at our school, and hundreds of families showed up. Folks, what I'm saying is through these people are instruments of God's love, and it is through them that we are given hope and courage. And that's what Advent is all about. It is about hopeful expectation, awaiting the birth of our Savior, who has come into this earth 2,000 years ago, who has conquered every single principalities, including death itself. I could never erase the memory of little Samuel with his face lit up after every Sunday Mass, full of wonder, full of awe, full of endless possibilities, just excited about God giving me a high five. I will never forget Martha's beautiful smile as well as I processed out of church, going to the back to shake people's hands. See, life is filled with tragedy and pain, but it is also filled with joy and wonder and peace. See, Glenn Gaza never imagined that this would ever happen to his family. Glenn went to our Cornerstone Retreat for Men to deepen his spirituality with God. And I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that that retreat helped him understand and make sense of the tragedy that befell his own family. I don't have the answers to everything, but I know that God never said that if you're faithful, that if you're a Christian, that no tragedy will ever come into your life. God never said that. In fact, Scripture says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. It doesn't mean that if we're faithful, it doesn't mean that if we're kind people, it doesn't mean that if we follow Jesus Christ, that nothing bad will ever happen to us. What Scripture says is no weapon formed against you will ever prosper if you're faithful and if you always surrender to God. It never said that no weapon or no tragedy will ever form. It will form, but it said that it will never prosper against you. Someone once said that peace is not the absence of troubles, but it is the actualization of the resources that we already have. And God gives us those resources during this tragic event. Love, hope, and courage. The same resources that was given to our Blessed Mother. See, our Blessed Mother didn't know that her son would go through such an excruciating death. She didn't know that he would suffer and be crucified on the cross. And yet our Blessed Mother continues to be an example for us of surrendering and trusting in God in the midst of tragedy and pain. She is an example for us of how no weapon will ever prosper as long as we trust in our Lord. And so as we gather together and as we prepare for the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ, we realize that death doesn't have the last word. God's love has the last word. And the resources that we have, love, courage, and hope, is what we hold on to as we pray for the repose of the souls of those who have died and those that have been injured, and as we prepare for the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ.